Joseph Goebbels on Christianity. The following reveals that not only were all of the top Third Reich leaders strongly anti-Christian, but that they also rejected Christian so-called morals. The following quotes were taken from the Goebbels Diaries, edited and translated by Louis P. Lochner, 1971 by Universal Award House Incorporated, 1948 by Doubleday and Company, Garden City, New York. Goebbels also reveals himself as violently opposed to the Christian churches. He makes it clear he plans to deal with the churches after the war and reduce them to impotence. Reichsleiter Martin Bormann became Rudolf Hess's successor as Hitler's deputy in party matters after Hess's sensational flight to England in 1941. He proved to be one of the most radical and uncompromising Nazis, filled with a hatred for the church. And here's a quote from Joseph Goebbels. American newspapers claim that Stalin has been preordained to save Christianity. Here's another one. Roosevelt has thought up a new Christian propaganda for the Easter holidays. He compares the road of the vanquished peoples of Europe to the road to Golgotha and claims that he, of all people, has been divinely ordained to protect Christianity against neo-paganism. This, of course, with the aid of the exceptionally Christian Soviets, who have distinguished themselves in the past by their religious fanaticism. And Roosevelt was part Dutch Jewish. Communism is not anti-Christian, as is commonly believed. 80 million Bibles printed in China and counting. Okay, that was my note that was thrown in here. And all you got to do is look up from the website Christianity Today, and they're printing out Bibles like crazy over there. And there's proof. All you got to do is go to Christianity Today website. On the one hand, it can't be denied that certain measures of the party, especially the decree about crucifixes, have made it altogether too easy for the bishops to rant against the state. The Nazis insisted upon the removal of crucifixes from schools and hospitals. Goering, too, his whole attitude towards the Christian churches, towards the Christian denominations, is quite open and above board. He sees through them and has no intention whatsoever of taking them under his protection. It's a dirty, low thing for the Catholic Church to continue its subversive activity in every way possible. Next to the Jews, these political divines are about the most loathsome riffraff that we are still sheltering in the Reich. The time will come after the war for an overall solution of this problem. Prostitution in Berlin is causing us many a headache these days. During a raid, we found that 15% of all women arrested had venereal disease, most of them even syphilis. We must certainly do something now about it. In the long run, we cannot possibly avoid setting up a red light district in the Reich capital similar to those in Hamburg, Nuremberg, and other large cities. You simply cannot organize and administer a city of 4 million in accordance with conceptions of bourgeois morals. And I also want to add here that the Nazis had brothels all over the place, and most of them were run by the German government, the Nazi Third Reich government. And they used to have like doctors go in there and check the women. They made sure that they didn't have any venereal diseases. I mean, it was run responsibly, as opposed to having to go underground, like most places in the world these days, where there's all kinds of disease and it's run by the mafia and organized crime. I mean, this is the way it should be. I mean, the government ran it and it was run well. Okay, the Führer spoke very derogatorily about the arrogance of the higher and lower clergy. The insanity of the Christian doctrine of redemption really doesn't fit at all into our time. The Führer cited a number of exceptionally drastic and in part even grotesque examples. Whereas the most learned and wisest scientists struggle for a whole lifetime to study but one of the mysterious laws of nature, a little country priest from Bavaria is in a position to decide this matter on the basis of his religious knowledge. One can regard such a disgusting performance only with disdain. The Catholic clergy is collaborating with the enemies of our country in a truly treasonable manner. I could burst with rage when I think that we cannot possibly call the guilty ones to account now. We shall save our vengeance until later. A number of Catholic and Protestant ministers have been sentenced to death. They had offended the German armed forces in a most cowardly manner. I propose to the Führer that the verdicts, together with the opinion of the court, be published. The following quotes were taken from Sex and Society in Nazi Germany by Hans-Peter Bleuel, 1972-1973, translated from the German by J. Maxwell Brownjohn, Das Saarbrücker Reich, published in England under the title Strength Through Joy, November 1973. Goebbels once poked fun at the antediluvian moral concepts of the reactionaries and the Tractarian spirit of their priggish bedfellows. Hitler seized the cue and whipped himself into one of his furious tirades. I abominate prudishness and moral prying. What has it to do with our struggle? These are outworn notions of reactionary old women like Hugenberg, who can only visualize national rejuvenation in terms of virtuous customs and austerity. League of Virtue and Christian German Table Companions, replacing the material losses of the nation with spiritual gains, and all the rest of that tawdry, patriotic mumbo-jumbo. Our uprising has nothing to do with bourgeois virtues. We are an uprising born of our nation's strength, the strength of its loins as well, if you like. I won't be a spoil sport to any of my men. If I demand the utmost of them, I must also permit them to let off steam as they please, not as it suits a lot of elderly church hens. My lads are no angels. By publishing this attack in Der Angriff, the press organ of his own Berlin Gau, Goebbels made himself a champion of progressive sex morality and the scourge of a natural people whose moral concepts might, in a pinch, govern community life in a nunnery, but were utterly out of place in a modern civilized state. Every inch the enlightened revolutionary, he poured scorn on the moral snoopers who could have liked nothing better than to set up chastity committees in town and country and transform the new Germany into a wilderness of carping and hypocrisy. Characterizing this behavior as bed-sniffing, he went on to accuse those who claimed a lien on morality. The underendowed, whose aim it was to supervise the sex life of Mueller and Schulze, Smith and Jones, as it would be said in English, the expression, as well as the morally harmful activities of dancers and stage stars, of contemptible hypocrisy and specious prudishness. No self-respecting German woman should venture forth unescorted, smoke, drink, dress up, or wear her hair bobbed. These were rules of decorum advocated by mean-minded bigots and arrogant arbiters of morality. Wasn't National Socialism on the side of life? And didn't it aim to infect the nation with optimism and joie de vivre? This is why we give the worker, too, a chance to dress festively on festive occasions. This is why we purvey strength through joy. And this is why we brush aside the agents of prudish hypocrisy and refuse to let them spoil, with their everlasting and spiteful pedantries, the pleasures that are so essential a counterpart to the troubles, cares, and privations of mundane existence for a decent nation, which has every reason to draw strength for its arduous fight for survival from ever renewed and deliberate affirmation of life.